Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. I take your questions always on Monday. You guys can email us your thoughts all throughout the week. It's freedom@charliekirk.com to contact us directly. What is going on with the tech stocks collapse? An economic-focused episode at first, and we dive into some other very important topics here on The Charlie Kirk Show. You can email me directly, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, if you want your questions to be considered to be answered on this podcast. Lots of questions we cover here. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. We're very thankful for all of you that support our show. Please consider becoming a monthly supporter. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. This is Jack from Virginia. Hey, Charlie, what's going on with Facebook? I see that their stock is really down. What caused it? Well, this is the front page of the Wall Street Journal, actually, today. Meta is the new name of their company. Their plunge rattles lofty tech shares. Quote, Facebook parent's company, Meta Platforms, shed more than $230 billion in market value, a one-day loss that is the biggest ever for a U.S. company. And increases pressure on a stock market long powered by tech shares. Stocks priced way down beyond perfection faces scrutiny. Facebook parent company has record fall. More than $230 billion, the biggest ever for a company ever for one day. Biggest drop. Meta Platforms gave a disappointing financial forecast, helping the major indexes snap a four-session winning streak. The tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite Index dropped 3.7%. PayPal Holdings and Spotify Technologies also spooked investors in recent days when the payment giants lowered its 2022 profit outlook and the streaming company elected not to provide annual guidance. So Facebook seemed like it was this untouchable company for quite a while, but they are just completely and totally collapsing. The stock is down and it's up a little bit. Actually, it's back down 21% in the last 24 hours, a 21% collapse. Now, part of it is because the stock was just overinflated as it is because of so much cheap money out there. People just kept on falsely rallying to Facebook shares. But if you look at Facebook over a period of time, it hit its record high in September at $378 a share. And now it's at $235 a share. So if you bought Facebook back in September, it has collapsed nearly 35 to 40% in just the last 4 to 5 months. Now, there's a theme here, though, that I want to explore with you, which is that it's not just Facebook that is collapsing. CNN ratings are down by 90%. Rachel Maddow is taking some time off to go film some irrelevant film with Ben Stiller. You have Francis Collins, who resigned from NIH. You have record amounts of Democrats resigning. The power structures of the regime, technological, economic, cultural, political, it's not going too well right now. Netflix, major crash, by the way. Last week, Netflix, which is one of the top purveyors of nonsense in our country, of just awful content for children and grandchildren. And by the way, no parent should allow their child to have a Netflix account. It is total propaganda. It's a separate issue for another time. Netflix was trading just near $600 a share at the beginning of the year. And now they're at $408 a share. They've actually rallied from where they were, which was a total collapse of about $359 a share. Their seven-week high was a market capitalization of about $300 billion, and they're now at about $181 billion company. Netflix is spending $17 billion on content alone this year. $17 billion just on content, most of which is BLM, Alphabet Mafia, complete and total nonsense. So what's happening is you're starting to see a correction, but not just a market correction. I think you're starting to see a civilizational correction. I think you're starting to see across the board people disengage from these tech companies, push back against what we call the woke industrial complex, and it's starting to reflect in media ratings, starting to reflect in stock prices, it's starting to reflect in public approval ratings, it's starting to reflect in so many different indicators. And this is something that we've been waiting for quite some time. We asked, how long can these news companies continue to exist? I mean, for the tech companies, they seemed untouchable for years. Google and Facebook in particular, and Netflix alongside of it. But Facebook in particular was one that we thought would never really kind of be properly challenged. A new story out today basically describes it as an unprecedented cratering. This is from the New York Magazine. Mark Zuckerberg's disaster is taking Silicon Valley with it. Quote, with a single earnings report and a disastrous conference call, Mark Zuckerberg wiped out $240 billion for his company. Now, this is a really interesting thing, and I want to just reiterate this. And we have double-digit inflation. People can't afford rent. We've been through that plenty of times. People can't afford basic groceries. This will be a massive stress test of wokeism. You see, it's easy to fund and to entertain and to support woke ideology, critical race theory, all these different things when the profits are flowing. When you just have rivers of cash from the Federal Reserve and a stock price that is super inflated, then it's easy to all of a sudden be like, yeah, okay, let's give the wokies $100 million and let's go fund BLM in schools. But now Zuckerberg is going to have a very serious question, which is, was it wise to declare war on half the country, Mark Zuckerberg? Was that smart to kick Donald Trump off your platform? But there was an arrogance, and this is a huge kind of development of the last year, and I tell people this, and Facebook is a great example of it. You know, where we're streaming right now, and we talk about it quite some time, we've partnered with them on many different things, and we're involved in a lot of different kind of projects with Rumble. Rumble, in the last year, has skyrocketed. Now, Rumble is also publicly traded. Full disclosure, I own some shares of Rumble. I have to say that because I'm not going to be like those weird people on TV that tell you about stocks. They don't disclose if they own it. I own some shares of it. It's an acquisition company. It's CFVI stock, and it's a SPAC. It's called a Special Purpose Acquisition Company. And so, but the Rumble SPAC is up, and Facebook craters. Why is that? Well, it's because Rumble's users are up. It's because Rumble's technology is getting better. And also, people are starting to see the market opportunity. They're like, oh, well, Facebook is just basically a soon-to-be, very shaky metaverse company. I'm going to get into the meta part of it very soon. I could do a whole hour on just kind of the whole metaverse because I've done a lot of thinking and a fair amount of research on it. But basically, Facebook has said, okay, we're just going to pander to a very specific subset of ideology in the country. And it leaves this overwhelming vacuum that is now going to be capitalized by other social media companies. It could be capitalized by Truth Social, which is President Trump's company. It could be capitalized on by Getter. It could be capitalized on by Rumble. All these different sorts of alternative companies. Telegram is growing very quickly, for example. There is a seismic energy shift. We've been on YouTube for 5 years, and we've stopped streaming on them with them because of how they've treated Dan Bongino. We have 560,000 subscribers on YouTube. We now have 893,000 subscribers on Rumble, nearly 900,000 subscribers on Rumble. We nearly have double the audience we have on Rumble that we have on YouTube, and we've only been there a year. And Rumble, their technology is not yet where it needs to be. Let's put it that way. It's developing, it's growing, it's getting there. The platform's about 5 or 6 years old, but in its current state, it's about a year old. That's correct. In its current form. We're streaming live on there all the time. And so many people have been wondering, when is the technological reset going to happen? Well, it's happening in front of our very eyes. And no thanks to Republicans who refuse to break up these companies, but great thanks to you that have made the switch. And to we've been partnering, and Dan Bongino and many others, to go all in on these tech competitors to create a parallel economy. Rumble acquired Locals.com. They have some other big things that are in the hopper. And so Metaverse is cratering. And remember, Michael Jordan said Republicans buy shoes too. And Google and Facebook, because the profits were so dramatic, They felt that they could alienate, they could destroy half the country, and there wouldn't be a competitor that would come up against them. And they're quickly learning that there is. Twitter, I mean, what is Twitter doing with their... I think Twitter is way down. I mean, they're up today, but year to date, Twitter was trading at $42 a share. They're now at $36 a share. Just a couple years ago, they were at $63 a share. They've nearly lost half of their market capitalization. Half. So Twitter is down. CNN is down. Meta is down. Amazon is down. Amazon's had a little bit of a surge. And I know some of you aren't, you don't tune in for this to be a stock show. That's not what the point, okay? If you want to go to price to earning ratio or all that stuff, whatever. Just go the last couple years to Twitter, though. They've collapsed nearly half their value. So many people are worried about a major economic collapse right around the corner. Charlie Kirk here. Are you prepared for the worst? In other words, do you have emergency food that you can rely on no matter what happens? What if there's a storm? What if there's an electromagnetic pulse attack from the Chinese Communist Party? You know, people laugh and they chuckle. I'm telling you, there might be something around the corner. And are you prepared? How will you feed your family? You are 9 meals away from anarchy. Remember that. 9 meals. Do you have 9 meals saved up? Well, if not, you need to get the 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're the nation's largest emergency food company, and they've served millions of your fellow Americans over the last 15 years. I use them, and you should too. Save $50 on their 4-week emergency food kit, which gives you breakfast, lunch, and dinner, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. The food stays fresh, up to 25 years, in proper storage. Go to preparewithkirk.com right now to save $50 per kit per person. Act now, and we'll ship right to your door. Preparewithkirk.com. Check it out, preparewithkirk.com. There was a very curious story today. It's good news for the country if it's true. I'm not saying that there's some sort of scheme to try to falsify government data. I just find the information to be stunning, and it's good news for the country. We cheer for the country when it does well. I'm not going to give Biden credit for it because he certainly didn't do anything to help make this happen, but it's good news for the country for sure, which is the labor news that came out today. It's very confusing. I'll be very honest. It took me Connor? It took us like 10 minutes to parse through this because they're like correcting data and they're publishing old data. It's very, very weird. So it's a January jobs report. And it's so strange because just a couple, like last week, they had a totally contradictory jobs report. By the way, is oil really $92 a barrel right now? Are you kidding me? It's at the top of Yahoo. Can you double check if that's right? Oil's at $92 a barrel? That can't be right. Goodness, it is. Oh, my goodness. Remind me to talk about the significance. $92 a barrel is like Iraq war territory. It's a total sidetrack. Just to kind of go through this, it has not been $92 a barrel since 2014, and it was right around there, 70. Even during Iraq war in 2006, it was around $61 a barrel. It's a good time to be in the Permian Basin, that's for sure. Total sidetrack, didn't mean to get on. It was a Yahoo Finance article, and they have all the industrials at the top. And so gold is up minorly, and I was like, $92 a barrel, where have I been? When did that happen? It must have been in the last month. Yeah, it was in the last month. I was going to say at Christmas, it was like at $66 a barrel, and now it's gone up 30%. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, during the virus, it went down to $18 a barrel. I have a funny story about how I got really messed up on that. I tried to buy oil futures, and the oil future I bought went bankrupt. Even though if I would have been able to hold on to the oil futures, look how I would have done. Would have gone from $20 to $90 just in the 2 years. Anyway, poor me, right? So if this data is true, it says January jobs report, payrolls jumped by 467,000 as unemployment rate rises to 4%. U.S. employers added back far more jobs than expected in January, even as Omicron cases surges at the beginning of the year. So they say that the job reports are lovely. Now, this is what doesn't make any sense. Labor force participation near lowest since 1977. The Bureau of Labor Statistics defined the labor force participation rate as the percentage of civilian non-institutional population 16 years and older. It's the lowest labor force participation rate. But they're saying we're creating all these jobs. It's somewhat perplexing. Some people are saying this is a corruption of institutions. I have no evidence of that, but it sure feels that way. And so here's the story that happened last week, right? which is last week, or just a couple days ago. It says companies unexpectedly cut 301,000 jobs in January. And then we have this totally contradictory jobs report that comes out 2 days. So which is it? Did we cut 301,000 jobs? Or do we have a jobs report that shows 400,000 new jobs? So what is the official unemployment rate, by the way, right now? Here's what I'm getting at, is that we are seeing economic indicators all over the map. Is that 4%? I don't believe it, but whatever. Labor force participation rate is at an all-time low. They say unemployment's at 4%. Things are costing more than ever before. Oil's at $92 a barrel. Rent is going up by $800 a month. Gold is flatlining, which is the most bizarre, one of the most bizarre things, is that you'd think in an inflationary time, gold would be up huge. Gold is down year to date, or it's about even. Gold was up really big, not really big. It was relatively big around May of last year. But isn't that an indictment for gold in some ways? It's really weird. No one has explained this to me, why gold has not skyrocketed in a time of double-digit inflation. No one. Gas is soaring. Bitcoin is up. Facebook is down. Twitter is down relative to the last couple of years. Jobs reports are mixed up. What could explain all this? One thing: massive government involvement creates economic chaos. Prices are the language that we use to communicate to one another without actually opening our mouth. And when you have price controls or subsidies and massive amounts of cheap money coming in, the language gets disturbed. All of a sudden, the price signals get completely and totally diluted, and people start doing wacky things. Look, you got to start the new year off with free meat. Good Ranchers is giving away 40 free chicken breasts to every order that use my code Charlie. That's $150 for free. They want to help you kick the new year off right with a box of 100% American, 110% delicious chicken, beef, and seafood. Eat better, eat healthier, cook more meals at home, and enjoy loads of flavor with one of their many boxes. This is pasture-raised, antibiotic-free, better than organic chicken. It comes individually packaged, vacuum-sealed, pre-trimmed, and best of all, right now, it's free. Meal prep and meal time has never been easier because of their pre-seasoned flavors that go straight into the pan and taste absolutely incredible. Every Good Ranchers order supports American farms and ranches, donates meals to food banks, and helps you reach your goals. Take advantage of this limited-time offer today. Use code CHARLIE at checkout or visit goodranchers.com/charlie for your 40 chicken breasts for free. Save $150 with this deal, and it's a great way to start off the year. Stock up on quality beef, chicken, and seafood that makes a difference in your life and others. Go to goodranchers.com/charlie to start 2022 off on the best note possible, free, delicious meat. People love Good Ranchers. I could tell you the response we get is so overwhelming, so positive. 40 free chicken breasts, delicious, tender, juicy, better than organic, $150 free, antibiotic free, hormone free, pasture raised. Check it out right now, goodranchers.com/Charlie. I also think some of the disruptions in the labor force is obviously government intrusion. Vaccine mandates, mask mandates, the quality of work as far as how hard it is just to work. I mean, I was just at a restaurant yesterday in Orange County, California, meeting with our good friends Andrew and Todd. That's andrewandtodd.com for all of you keeping it score at home. They're wonderful. What godly men. They're terrific. And we were at this restaurant called The Water Grill. I think producer Andrew probably knows it. Probably goes there after he trains for his marathons or his Ironman. And it just frustrates me so much. All the staffers are wearing masks. And again, I don't do this to try to be disagreeable. Pastor David Englehart and I and Will Petty, who's on our team, we all went in there without masks and they didn't stop us. Now, mind you, between Will Petty, David Englehart and I, it looks like a Lithuanian basketball team that's walking into their restaurant. It's like, I wouldn't want to stop us either, but no one stopped us. But there's also a moral component to it. I don't want to be served by some sort of masked employee. I don't like that. I feel bad for them. I do not like it at all. I think it's bad for the culture. I think it's bad for me. I think it's bad for them. Don't like it at all. Now, if they want to wear a mask, that's a separate issue, but every single person was wearing a mask. Every single person that was working there. Not every single person walking through. Okay, let's get to some. It's another question here. Charlie, did you see Shaquille O'Neal's recent comments on the vaccine? Ties actually to this economic news. And that is Andrea from Mississippi. I did. think Shaq is from Louisiana. Is that right? He went to LSU. I don't know if he's from Louisiana, but I've always been a big Shaquille O'Neal fan. And by the way, this chair, for all of you watching on Rumble, is literally the Shaq chair. I'm by no means as big as Shaq, but we were struggling to find a chair that I could actually fit in with all of my back problems. But Relief Factor has made him a lot better, by the way. But the chair is so terrific. I'm a big Shaq fan. I always have been. Andrew says, I'm a chair prima donna. Of course I am. There's a couple things that I'm very specific about. Condiments, chairs, travel accommodations, language, temperature, gluten. I suppose that as well. If I eat gluten, it doesn't go well. But no, I totally admit I'm a prima donna when it comes to chairs. Whenever I speak at a church, I lovingly try to tell them I can't sit in stools. I can't. It hurts my back. It kills me. And shoes. I need comfortable shoes. A lot of this stuff is very focused on lower back pain, but that's a separate issue. Okay, Shaquille O'Neal, we're sitting in his chair. I have to just compliment Shaquille O'Neal. He's got wisdom. He really does. And he's never been left-wing political. Am I right? I don't think he's ever done that. He's always been about hard work and entrepreneurship and doing the right thing and strong fathers and being a strong man. Charles Barkley, similar. Charles Barkley is a little bit more promiscuous in his personal life than I think people want to admit, but that's a separate issue. And Kobe Bryant, I had a lot of respect for these men. And Michael Jordan as well. He's been a little bit BLM-y recently. But I just have so much respect for them versus LeBron James. Not even close. It's like two separate categories of people. Okay, let's play Shaquille O'Neal. Play tape.
Look, I encourage everybody to be safe and take care of your family. I do. But there's still some people that don't want to take it. And you shouldn't have to be forced to take something that you don't want. So
I don't think people are being forced to take. Well, there are some. I mean, listen, we have a mandate at CBS.
That's force.
We have a mandate at CBS. But my point.
That's force.
But where I wholeheartedly.
That's force.
No, it's not force.
It is force. Because if the man don't take it, the man will get fired.
If the man don't take it, the man going to get fired. You could turn that into a billboard. I have said this entire time, one of the great missed opportunities for the Republican Party and the conservative cause was allying with black men and athletes against mandatory vaccinations. I think it's been one of the great political missed opportunities of a generation. Now, why would the black community not be pro-vaccine? Are they anti-science? Are they stupid like white liberals would say? Of course not. Actually, I think they're really wise. You see, white liberals think black people are stupid. I think black people are super wise. I think they're really smart. I think that they have a history that is unquestioned of forced sterilization of, quote, idiot women, the Tuskegee trials, and medical experimentation. And there is a general cynicism and distrust in the black community of government mandates towards what they call black bodies. That's a little hyper-racial for my personal opinion, but they're not wrong. I don't think this vaccine was concocted just to try to hurt black people, obviously. But I think that the skepticism and the cynicism a lot of members of the black community had was completely warranted. And Shaquille O'Neal's articulating it perfectly. And Kyrie Irving, and Shaq and Kyrie Irving went back and forth. He actually blasted Kyrie Irving for not complying with the vaccine. And now maybe Shaquille O'Neal has evolved or what's the politically correct way? Grown on the issue. He's progressed, whatever they say. It's like all these like poll-tested PR terms. He's grown. He's evolved. He's strength. That's right. That's the new one that I love is he's strengthened on the issue. Or the Justin Trudeau one when he wears blackface. This is a learning moment for Canadians. Oh, got it. Learning moment. That is true. Shaquille O'Neal does not have much room to grow. That is correct. He is a specimen, I'll tell you what. One of the great athletes in the modern era. Okay, let's get to another question here. We're getting lots of different questions. This is one. Charlie, I heard about the Johns Hopkins story, and it doesn't make any sense. Why did we lock down our country to begin with? Thanks so much, Jason from Seattle. Well, we never should have locked up our country, and our team has this cut in the cut sheet. I don't like doing this, but I do this for a reason, only because we have a good track record on this program of taking firm stances and then being vindicated and validated despite all the pressure against us when those things happen. So we were anti-lockdowns from the very beginning. I don't think America ever should have locked down a single day. And it's not because we saw the future. It's because this show, and amongst many other people like Larry Arn from Hillsdale College, who was anti-lockdown, if you ponder and stew over things that are eternal, and if you try to focus on wisdom, things that do not change, well, then you'll be able to see things a lot more clearly. Unfortunately, our leaders have no such interest in that. This was from March of 2020, 2 years ago, basically. Play cut 81. I am getting phone calls from people that are in panic right now, and it's not panic about the virus. It's panic about the economic catastrophe that we're about to come into. It's people that are worried that they can't make payroll. They can't make rent. And they have confidence in the President of the United States, what he's doing here. But they want to know on day 15 that they're going to get a green light to go back to work because you cannot cage the American entrepreneur. Economic catastrophe. There's another part where I said we are. That was 6 days into 15 days to slow the spread, by the way. 6 days. And we were saying that we can't have lockdowns anymore. We're going on day 690 of 15 days to slow the spread. And parts of America are still largely locked down. Okay, let's get to another question here. Hey, Charlie, I've heard that the Constitution is changing. Do you agree with that? My teachers say they are. I'm a high school student from Tennessee. This is Teresa from Tennessee. Well, cut 46, Joe Biden talks about a beautiful document, the United States Constitution. Let's play cut 46.
The nominee should be. And, you know, there's always a renewed national debate every time we nominate any president that nominates a justice, because the Constitution is always evolving slightly in terms of additional rights or curtailing rights, et cetera, and it's always an issue.
The Constitution is always evolving slightly, is what Joe Biden says. Now, this is a Hegelian belief. Hegelianism looks at the arc of history, and they look at things as evolving towards inevitable perfection or utopia. They take the Christian belief of the eschaton, which means the end times, and they apply it to political theory, and they come up with this baseless idea that we are going to rumble and tumble through time towards a state of eventual perfection. Now, the Constitution is not evolving. It's not. The promise of the Constitution remains constant, largely because it's either you believe human nature changes or it does not change. Aristotle famously said that nature is the norm. The Constitution was not written for the times. It was written to stand the test of time. Because human beings are always going to want to consolidate power. They're always going to want to abuse that power. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, so there's an intergenerational promise there, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Goes through the first seven articles of the Constitution, and it wasn't until 1791 that the Bill of Rights was officially ratified. But to believe the Constitution is always changing is to believe that human beings are also changing, and we are not. Just because technology changes, and just because things around us are moving faster, technology is very simple. The best way to describe what technology is doing more work with less force. That's what technology is, being able to do more work with less force, more efficiently. So technology could be a wheelbarrow, it could be a fulcrum, technology could be an airplane, it could be a car, it could be a cell phone, it could be a text message. You're able to do more work with less work. You're able to do more output with less force. I have some of my physics terms a little bit twisted here, but you understand what I'm saying. And just because you have technology does not mean the principles that govern the universe change. And this is why Christians, I think, get so off track here when they don't engage in these arguments. Do you believe in the natural law or not? If you believe in the natural law, the unchanging principles that govern the universe, or as Thomas Jefferson would say, the laws of nature and nature's God, you do not believe what Joe Biden said, that the Constitution is slightly evolving. The natural law is not slightly evolving. So the Constitution remains, because human nature remains. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again with his My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and outdoor all day long and made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. So look, it's towels, blankets, comforters. You know Mike Lindell. He's great. It also supports our show. So if you want to get a good night's rest and you're like, hey, I got to buy a couple pillows or I need some more blankets. I'm moving in. I got rid of some or the dog, you know, destroyed some blankets. MyPillow.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show and Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com. Promo code Kirk. Don't forget promo code Kirk. Helps us out. God bless you guys. We have a lot of questions about this. We got from Brian. We got from Mark. We got from Mikey. We got from Larry. We got all across the spectrum about the Olympics. And the questions are all over the map. So let's just kind of talk about what's going to happen. Do you see Pelosi's comments? Just questions, question, question, question about the Olympics. And emailed to us, freedom@charliekirk.com. So, okay, let's get to, and Cassandra from Kalispell as well. So let's get into the Olympics here. So Nancy Pelosi has some comments here about the Olympics. Now, I don't defend Nancy Pelosi, but I think that it's actually a little bit unfair to attack her for what she said here. Minorly unfair. I think some of the criticisms towards Pelosi here have not been totally wise, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay, so Nancy Pelosi tells U.S. athletes not to speak out against the Chinese communist regime, lest they risk incurring the anger of the Chinese government. Now, she's being called the shill and the pup of the Chinese Communist Party. That's right, but I'll be very honest with you. If I was sending athletes to China, I'd be telling them the exact same thing. Unless you want them to end up as hostages like LaMelo Ball was, you got to tell them what they're getting in for. I'm not a fan of China. I think China is an existential enemy. So play cut 79.
I would say to our athletes, you're there to compete. Do not risk incurring the anger of the Chinese government because they are ruthless. I know there is a temptation on the part of some to speak out while they are there. I respect that, but I also worry about what the Chinese government might do to their reputations, to their families.
Now, here's the way it should be done, okay? First of all, why Pelosi's commenting on this, I don't get that, is Biden should say, listen, I have given every athlete from America a green light to speak as you choose. China, you lay a hand on them, you got a problem. 200% tariffs. China's now a free speech zone. Welcome to the party. That has to come from the president, not from Pelosi. I'm saying, if I was just like a House of Representatives member like Pelosi, she's actually not wrong. That's not the point. The point is that Trump or Biden, whoever was president, should say, okay, we're going to go compete in your COVID zero games. You lay a hand on an American, you are not getting a product into America for a year. It's that simple. We'll wreck your economy. And if Trump did that, the athletes would be safe and free, and they would be doing Instagram lives from the Great Wall of China, and they'd be able to walk to Mao Zedong's grave. People are focusing on the Pelosi element of it, and it looks like she's pandering and all this, but I'll be honest, what would you say differently? Yeah, go protest Biden, go protest China when you have no backup from the White House? Is that what you would say? It sounds like Pelosi is pandering to the Chinese, which she very well might be. But what would you say? Would you go tell a bunch of athletes to go into China without State Department support and without presidential support and White House support to go protest the Chinese regime? I don't think that's smart. I just don't. And I'm not defending Pelosi. I just think that the automatic, like, ooh, she's doing the bag carrying of Xi Jinping. Yeah, she's probably bought and paid for by them. I think that was part of Schweitzer's book. Or, like, if you were in that position, what would you say? Hey, skiers, figure skaters, curlers, actually go protest as much as you want. And then what? You'll have a diplomatic mess on your hands. This has to come from one or two people. That's it. The President of the United States and the head of the State Department, Secretary of State. And honestly, Nancy Pelosi is saying this for another reason. The last thing Democrats need is a hostage situation with China. going into the midterms. But then this does beg another question, Pelosi, which is, if you know how ruthless the Chinese is, why are we still doing business with them? Why are you not censuring them? Why are you not passing tariffs or measures against them? Now, Pelosi's saying something that, considering the lack of backup, and she probably agrees with the lack of backup because she's purchased by the Chinese Party, Communist Party, I don't want my fellow Americans to be held hostage in China. If we had a real president, it could end like that. You tell Xi Jinping, one of your soulless apparatchiks lays a finger on an American, we wreck your economy. Welcome to the Olympics. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.